The Roman Catholic Church was turned on its head when Pope Benedict resigned and his successor, Pope Francis, described by some as an enigmatic man who is now the vicar of Christ, immediately changed the course of an entire religion. Some call him a socialist, others appreciate his kindness and empathy, and still others say he's a real game changer. Well, who is Pope Francis, really?
You've got a man as Pope that's following in the footsteps of the previous two, Benedict and John Paul, but he's got a different style and a different kind of hand in leadership. I think this Pope wants to have people to have their say. So I think that's one of the things where some of the conservatives perhaps might think that Pope Francis can be like just drops the reins and let the horses run where they will. But I think Francis takes it very seriously. He wants to have people feel like they've had a say. He's not some kind of closet revolutionary who's going to turn the church inside out, from the very seat of authority. He's not that kind of leader. He's a very pious man. He's pious in a Argentinian sort of way. So he's very emotional. You'll see him pray very devoutly, which is one of the things that you don't hear about when you hear about the quips that he talks about with who am I to judge and things like that. That's paralleled with a pretty deep and profound piety. But he also takes what John Paul and Benedict did with the papacy about addressing social issues. I think his encyclical on the environment, Laudato Si, from earlier this year is kind of an example of that. So he's going to follow in the same footsteps of the previous two popes, but he is going to do it his own way. And, he is the first pope from the Western Hemisphere, from the Americas. And so he's got a different way of doing things that's different for the Italians and the folks in the Curia, and also different for folks in the pews. We're still trying to learn his style. He's only been pope for 2.5 years. So still trying to watch him grow into the role, so to speak.
What do you make of his involvement in politics? Coming to the U.S., he's going to address Congress, he's meeting with the president. What does this say about his character, and what message is he trying to communicate to America?
Kind of like when Benedict XVI came in 2008, one of the things he talked about was the American democratic experience, the American experience of democracy and freedom of expression, and Benedict saw this as all good. I think Francis sees it as good as well, but he also wants to call folks to reawaken our awareness of our neighbor. I think that's one of the things you see most recently with Pope Francis talking about the migrant crisis in Europe. Francis was alive during World War II. He, knew about, throughout his seminary studies, the stereotypes that the Vatican didn't do enough. And I think Francis wants to make sure that the church does do something when there are humanitarian crises to be addressed. Why not then take the opportunity to address the United States Congress, to meet with the president, since those are political people and governing bodies that can help solve the same crises? So why shouldn't he talk to them? I think on the other hand, one of the things he also wants to do is he wants to have folks think about, what does this mean for me? So in other words, not just what can I do or what's a policy, but how can individual people look at other people anew, including people who are very different from us? I mean, that's one of the things he always seems to be striking those chords when you see him in the crowds at St. Peter's, whenever he goes on a trip. Francis loves to go on visits to meet people who are real. And I think he wants, therefore, whenever he speaks, to remind others who are listening about other people's humanity. As Pope, he is the head of state for the Vatican State. And so it's not just a spiritual mission to the United States. It is a state visit in that sense, that it wouldn't be if you had another religious leader from either another religion or another Christian body. When the Pope visits, it's a spiritual visit and also a political visit. So in that sense, it's very fitting that he would meet with the president and address the U.S. Congress. More importantly, for him and for the people who are going to be meeting with him, it's a direct connection about trying to remind folk that these great problems will be solved when we start with remembering the human dignity of the people that we're considering here, these migrants or the Christians being displaced from the Middle East, that the solution for those things starts when we remember that they are humans just like us, or human beings, or people.
Adding to the Pope Francis effect, or mystique, if you will, are those whispers about special significance in Francis being a Jesuit.
The Jesuit order has a kind of reputation, a reputation I think they still enjoy. An expansive intellectual apostolate. There are other orders in the Catholic Church that take the intellectual apostolate very seriously, like the Dominicans, who in this country are affiliated with Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. And one of the early Dominicans, of course, was St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, the doctor of the church and a patron of both philosophers and theologians. Jesuits, though, tend to take their intellectual apostolate and put it, you know, out in the streets, have a little bit more engaged and embedded ministry, perhaps, than the Dominicans, who always, you know, never shy away from being different, even though they're just engaged in the culture as well. But Jesuits have a longer tradition of, you know, trying to blend in and convert the culture from within to enculturate themselves. That led to a lot of Protestant stereotypes in this country. You know, in the colonial era, the Jesuits are like secret agents. They're here to, like, they're here to overturn the government. Francis, though, to me, shows that with this popular touch of being able to walk out into the crowds, to visit orphanages, to wash the feet of women prisoners and Muslims during Holy Week, to kind of, you know, follow the tradition and then, you know, expand it in a new way. That's where I see his Jesuit heritage and training coming to the surface, if you will, not in these theories or superstitions about how he's trying to throw out the apostolic tradition or something like that. I mean, I think he is also a Jesuit who went through training during the 60s, so he knows about an earlier style of being a Jesuit priest, which is perhaps more traditional. And then the new ways, when after the Second Vatican Council in the mid-60s, he's a unique generation to remember the early days, but also to have 50 years of experience of the new ways as well. And sometimes people want a carbon copy of an earlier pope, whether it's Paul VI or John Paul II. Francis is not like that. He is his own guy.
And lastly, we have all of those unspoken things. I read somewhere someone said that not since Martin Luther has a church official crossed so many lines and raised so many eyebrows, and I'm sure they were referring to Francis's position on climate change, on gays, on this thing about annulments, which could lead to divorces, and also women in the priesthood.
I think the reaction to Francis is just as telling as what he's doing himself. In other words, you know, he's just doing, at one level, what any cardinal elected to the office would do. That is, try to make the office his own. I think he saw that with the choice of his name. You know, he's the first one, which is kind of interesting because St. Francis of Assisi has been known globally for centuries and is an icon in Catholic spirituality and practice for all sorts of people, men and women, rich, poor, middle class, educated and not educated. Everyone already knows St. Francis, and Jorge Bergoglio was the first one when elected pope to take his name, which I think is interesting right there. And as he tries to fulfill his duty as Bishop of Rome in his own way, as a Jesuit, as a son of Italian immigrants, being born and raised in Argentina, a number of the people who see him doing these things and, you know, doing things differently than Benedict or John Paul II did, automatically jump to thinking that things are going to change. He has never backed away from what Paul VI taught in 1968 about artificial birth control and Humanae Vitae. You know, so he has not overturned anything like that. He tried to fight same-sex marriage legislation in Argentina when he was still a bishop of Buenos Aires. He's not the radical game changer that some people fear or want. Sometimes when folks keep hanging on his every word, waiting for him to say, come on over, I think that says more about the people who want to see him as this liberalizer, that in some ways he's not. And so you're right, you know, at one level, we get a new, very complex voice with his view on climate change with Laudato Si, but Section 120 in the same document makes it very clear abortion is wrong, and any attempt to deal with climate change that ends up with some kind of affront to human dignity is not a solution. He's a lot more complex than either his conservative critics or some of his fans in other parts of the non-Catholic world who want him to change things more. He's not the cartoon character that either side makes him out to be. He's still a very complex figure, and hopefully he'll be Pope for a little bit longer so we can see him. He has talked about retiring at some points. Since Benedict set the new precedent, you know, Francis has said maybe 5 years, maybe seven. So it'll be interesting to see like how much longer he stays in office.
You mentioned cartoon. There was that that cartoon that was on the side of a building somewhere in South America, Super Pope.
There's Pope Emojis. A company has developed an app for Android and iPhone with Pope Emojis. You know, there's kind of like little smiley faces or whatnot, but they're all Pope Francis. You would never have seen that with either Benedict or even John Paul II, although John Paul II had a comic book. We had a seven-year hiatus because that just wasn't it was during Benedict's reign, because Benedict was not a comic book kind of guy. And with John, especially the younger John Paul II, and now with Pope Francis again, we have a pope whose personality and outgoing nature and willingness to cross lines, like you mentioned, lends itself to popular culture. And right now we have phone apps, and why not make a phone app that celebrates Pope Francis coming to the United States?